Sir.
Amen.
Well, good to be at Faith Baptist Church. Amen. Good to be back. And I always love doing, when I come preach here, I love doing the only at Faith Baptist Church. I discovered three more things this morning. Let me give them to you. Amen. Only at Faith Baptist Church does the pastor encourage you and then tell you to shut up. Did y'all get that? By the way, I need a hug. Amen. I'm a hugger now. I'm a hugger now. He said Mississippi. I was there. I'm actually in Louisiana now. And the first Sunday I was pastor, I had people come up to me, give me big old hugs. And I couldn't get used to the hugs. Now I'm just a big hugger. Amen. I saw Jesse Tuesday. I said, Jesse, give me a hug. He said, oh, you're going ecumenical now. Amen. I said, no, I'm just the way we are now. Amen. But number two. What's that? Oh, yeah. Isaac, little man's a hugger too. And so only at Faith Baptist Church does the pastor encourage you and tell you to shut up. Number two, are you told to shake hands with the old guys? I didn't do that, so let me go ahead and do that right now. I'm going to find the oldest man in the church and shake his hand. Amen? All right. Where's Brother Ron at? Amen? He backslidden, out smoking or something probably. Amen? And then number three, I noticed this. Only at Faith Baptist Church does the blind piano player walk in 30 minutes late like he owns the place. Yeah. And then he sits over there and drinks water and acts like he's trying to say something to me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love Brother John. Now that I have insulted everybody in the church, let's preach. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter number one. Boy, it sure is good to be here. Good to be saved. Good to be a child of God. And I'm glad that I've been redeemed, amen, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are over in Slidell, Louisiana, and pastoring a church there, Community Baptist Church. And well, what an honor and a privilege it is that they would even call me to be their pastor. And when they voted me in 98%. I was there for a year, and the other 2% finally came to me and said, well, we're the 2% that did not vote for you. But we want you to know why we did not vote for you. And they gave me some reasons, good, legitimate reasons. And they said, but we want you to know now that we take back our vote. And so we're the 2% that said no. Now we say yes. And so really it's 100%. That's pretty good, ain't it? And to God be the glory. Only he can do something wonderful like that. My wife, stand up, babe. It's my wife, Charity. And go ahead and stand. And she's losing her voice. And thank God. Can I get a witness? I'm just just joking. That's our daughter there, Chloe, and then I have another daughter that's 7. Her name is Natalie, and then Mackenzie is 6. Chloe is 2, and then Isaac Michael. If you see Isaac, you have seen the Father. Amen. Just like you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Isaac, you've seen me. Amen. He looks just like me, red hair and all, suit, looks sharp. Amen. He's going to be my assistant one of these days. And looking forward to that. All right, Philippians chapter, only if the Lord allows them. Philippians chapter 1, and look with me. Just a few thoughts here this morning. Probably not going to, I've stopped trying to do something. I've stopped trying to hit home runs. You know, as preachers, you try to get up and hit a home run all the time, and just sometimes you can force things and not hit. I like to get on first base. My thought is this, sometimes you can score more runs with, if you hit a home run, if people are on base, amen? And a solo home run really isn't that many runs, but sometimes if you can get on first, then maybe get on second, and then maybe next week, pastor can get up and preach and knock it out of the park, amen? But I just want to give you some thoughts and here this morning that I hope would be a blessing to you. Philippians chapter number 1, look with me at verse number 23. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 23. The Bible says this, for I am in strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Verse number 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. That's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for this day. And Father, we thank you for the good singing. We thank you for the sweet spirit. Thank you for Pastor Alan Ryman. Thank you, God, for his faithfulness, for his stand in this community and in Delaware. And Lord, around the country, Lord, around the world as he preaches, not just here, but God, as he goes out and preaches the word. Bless him. Bless Brother Jesse. Thank you for him. All these dear folks here at Faith Baptist, Lord, I love them. I appreciate them. Lord, what a privilege and honor it is to stand and preach in this pulpit this morning. And God, as a pastor, I even realize now how much more precious and serious it really is to even allow somebody to stand and preach. And so, God, I take it very seriously that my pastor would allow me to do this in his pulpit. Bless these words today. May it be a blessing and a help and encouragement to us. Help us to be strengthened through this message. We love you. Save souls, change lives. Be with the youth rally, the Lord, that's coming up. God, touch it, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this is Paul's letter or epistle to the church of Philippi. He had started this church on his second missionary journey, and some tell us that this is about 10 years later, and Paul is in prison in Rome. And Paul is writing to this church, and something that he says here caught my attention in verse number 24. Look with me at verse 23 and 24. Paul said to the church of Philippi, he said this, he said, I had rather be with Christ. In other words, I had rather be with Christ. I had rather die and just go into heaven and be with the Lord. How many of us would love to just go be with the Lord? Amen. And boy, to see him who's altogether lovely, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. It'd be all right if we just go, no, I don't want to step in front of a Mack truck or a bus, amen, to go to heaven. But it'd be all right if the Lord just went ahead and sounded the trumpet and we just go be with him. But Paul said here to the church of Philippi, he said, I had rather be with Christ, but you need me to be here. You need me to be here with you. Do you see that? Those Christians, in other words, those Christians, those saints, those people that had gotten saved at the church of Philippi, they needed Paul the apostle. And listen, church, this is a thought that I want to direct our attention to this morning. This is the reality. Somebody needs you this morning. Somebody needs you this morning. Now, one of the biggest lies of the devil is this. Ready? Nobody needs me. You know, when somebody says nobody needs me, guess what happens? Discouragement sets in. Defeat sets in. You're sitting on the front row. Now you're on the back row. Now all of a sudden you say, well, nobody needs me. The church don't need me. The preacher don't need me. The choir don't need me. The song leader don't need me. Nobody needs me. I guess I'll just go home and sit and flip on the internet and watch TV online. Amen. Listen, friend, I'm here to tell you today, you are needed at Faith Baptist Church. Somebody needs you, amen? Listen, that's one of the biggest lies of the devil is that nobody needs me. Now, let me just say this today. Somebody needs you. Number one, somebody needs you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, we all come in contact with different people. There's people that I can reach that you cannot. There's people that you can reach that I cannot. And listen, my friend, God has put us in this thing. God has put us in this ministry to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody needs you to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm thankful for that day, July 25th, 1991, 6:30 on a Thursday night, where my aunt Hassie, took a Bible, and she showed me some verses, how to be saved. Somebody said before, nobody can get saved out of reading John 3:16. Nobody can get saved out of the Romans road. Well, you're looking at somebody this morning, hey, that got saved from reading John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for the Romans road. You get saved by the Romans road. Amen. Yes, sir. But she took that Bible and she opened it up and she showed me that I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior, and I repented of my sin. I turned to Christ and got born again into the family of God. I sure am glad that she presented the gospel to me. I'm thankful that 2 or 3 months before that, my cousin Jack Jr. took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. I'm glad that they didn't and they wasn't quiet when it came to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me very quickly this morning at Acts. Let me give you some Bible. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 26. The Bible says this, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go to the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse number 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse number 31, and he said, how can I accept some man to guide me? You see that? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, this eunuch was a very religious man. We know that by reading verse number 27. And what is he doing here? In verse number 32, we find him reading his Bible. He's reading Isaiah chapter number 53. And Philip asked him, understand what thou readest? He asked him this question in verse number 30. And then he said, how can I accept some man should guide me in verse number 31? So here is a man that is needing somebody to take the Bible and explain to him how to be saved. Yeah. Boy, ain't that something? Amen. By the way, this man wind up getting saved in verse number 37. Amen. Listen, there is somebody out there that needs you to take the Bible and show them how to be saved. You say, Brother Peyton, or Brother Michael, whatever y'all call me around here, amen. Is everybody interested? No. No, everybody's not interested. But I'm glad for those that are. And I'm glad every once in a while I'll go by a house and knock on their door and boom, somebody slams a door in your face. You go and knock on another door, boom, somebody slams a door in your face. But then you go to that one person and you knock on that door and you say, hey, I'm from Faith Baptist Church. Can I tell you about Jesus? And they said, man, big old tears flowed down their face and said, I've been waiting for somebody just to come by and tell me about Jesus. Amen. You take out your Bible and show them how to be saved. Boy, isn't it a wonderful thing to be used by God in that area of taking a Bible and showing somebody how to be saved? Everybody's not interested, but I always find somebody that is. Amen. You can always find somebody that is. Let me say this, number two, somebody needs you not only to witness to them, to tell them about Jesus, but somebody needs you to pray for them. You know, there's a lot of things that you cannot do. Amen? There's a lot of things that I cannot do. And a lot of times older folks, you know, they get discouraged because they say, well, man, I'm too old to cut the grass, and I'm too old to do this, and I'm too old to do that, and what can I do? I tell you what you can do. You can pray. Amen, church. You can pray, and somebody needs you to pray for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, the Bible says this, brethren, pray for us. Genesis 19:29, Lot dwelt in Sodom, and God remembered Abraham, and he delivered Lot. Do you know why God delivered Lot out of Sodom? Because he had an uncle who was a friend of God. He had an uncle that had a prayer life. Amen. I'm sure Lot was sure glad that somebody took time out to pray for him. And do you know that there is somebody that needs you to call out their name in prayer to God? Let me just say this, you might not be the best, you might not be the smartest, you might not be the richest, you might not be the handsomest, you might not be the prettiest, you may not be the best singer or the best musician or the best Christian, but my friend, every one of us in this room can call out people's name in prayer to God. The prodigal son needed his father to pray for him. Gomer needed her husband, Hosea, to pray for her. Arak needed Deborah, the prophetess, to pray for him. Peter needed Jesus to pray for him. And listen, church, somebody needs you this morning to pray for them. Let me give you this thought. Number three, somebody needs you to tell them that you love them. Somebody needs you to tell them that you love them. I remember when I was a youth pastor in Illinois, there was a young man named Patrick Conover. Patrick Conover, he came from a poor home. He came from a home that you would consider to be maybe on the other side of the tracks, or a family that, you know, was very poor, had a lot of problems in their home, and Patrick came to church about the age, I think he was about 10 years old. He came to church on the church bus, and he wound up getting saved. When he went into the junior high, Patrick became part of the youth group. I believe it was 7th grade or 6th grade, one of those two grades. I can't remember which one it was now. He became part of the youth group, and Patrick got saved. I think it was in his 6th grade year. And we had a youth conference, and Patrick stood up at our youth conference and said that God had called him to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Patrick was in the youth group, I remember one day I walked up to Patrick, and I said, Patrick, I just want to tell you something. He said, what's that? I said, I just want to tell you, I love you. He just kind of looked at me and said, what did you say? And I said, Patrick, I just want to come by. I just want to tell you, I love you. He called me Pastor Michael. I was a youth pastor. And he said, Pastor Michael, he said, I have never, ever heard those words in my life. I said, well, wait a minute. You got a grandma. You got a grandpa. You got a mom. You got a dad. He says, my parents have never told me ever that they love me. He said, that was the first time that I had ever heard those words. Patrick went off to Bible college. He graduated last year from Blessed Hope Baptist College in Benton, Arkansas, Dr. Ken Graham's college. I went to his graduation, walked up to Patrick, I gave him a big old hug. I looked at him, I said, Patrick, I just want to tell you again, I love you. Amen. He said, Pastor Michael, I'll never forget those words. As a sixth grader, I'll never forget those words that you taught. I remember you told me you loved me for the first time, and that made such an impact in my life. And he said, I'm serving God today. I'm living for Jesus today. I'm going on for God today. I'm called to preach today. I'm surrendering to God today. I've graduated from Bible college today because somebody told me that they love me. Listen, you never know what those words to somebody can mean to them. Listen, I love you might be a life change for somebody. Listen, you know what blessed our hearts? When we saw those buses roll in, I thought this, man, they're still at it. Amen, still rolling those buses. And Natalie looked up and she said, Daddy, do you think that's a church bus? I said, I think it's probably a church bus. I'm not sure which. I should have known. But I got closer. And I got closer, and I got closer, and I got closer to it. Guess what I found out? It said Faith Baptist Church. Yeah. And I thought about Patrick. That day, I thought about Patrick. Right then and there, I thought about Patrick. I thought about, you know, there's people that come in on these buses. They never told, I love you. They're never shown, I love you. They're never shown anything about the Lord or Jesus or the cross or the blood or the Bible or holiness or anything. And they come here, and guess what they're going to find? They're going to find somebody that loves them. Amen. But let me just say this. You ought to tell them you love them. Amen. And then show them. Amen. There's something about those words that means a whole lot.
I believe that.
There might be a husband that needs to hear those words from their wife. You say, come on, preacher. Surely married people love each other. Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised, amen. Maybe there's a wife, maybe there's a husband, maybe there's a dad that needs to hear that from their kids. Maybe there's a mom that needs to hear that from their kids. Listen, I am one of the most blessed men in all of the world. You say, preacher, why is that? Because I get to hear those words from different people on a daily basis. I get to hear it from my wife. There is never a day that goes by that my wife don't tell me, I love you. Usually it's not just one. Even if she's mad at me, it's at least twice, amen. I mean, listen, I get to hear it from my kids. I remember the first time that my daughter, Natalie, told me that she loved me. I didn't have candy or money in my pocket. I didn't make her. I didn't prod her. I didn't force her. She walked up to me and said, Daddy, I love you. Whew. Well, that meant something to me. Listen, I think about friends. I think about friends. I think about people in the church. I think about my church folks now that I pastor. They say they walk out the door, and I don't know. It still amazes me that they call me pastor. I say, well, every time they say, hey, pastor, I go, like, who are you talking to? Amen. But they say, man, what a good message, or sometimes they say, what a bad message. But either way, they say, I love you. Boy, ain't that a blessing to know that you're loved? Ain't that a blessing to know that you're cared for? Ain't it a blessing to know that we're God's people going to God's heaven? We have Jesus Christ in our hearts, and we have a common bond. And buddy, we're here today because of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm here to tell you today, we need somebody. Somebody needs to tell somebody that they love them. Let me say this, number four. Somebody needs you to visit them. Now, it may be somebody that's sick. It may be somebody that has been not been in church for a while. It may be somebody that's disgruntled. By the way, it's okay to visit disgruntled church members. Sometimes all it takes is just to go a visit. Yeah. Well, we say this, oh, they're just disgruntled. They're against preacher. They're against this. They're against that. So we're not even going to go visit them. Sometimes all it takes is just a visit to let people know that they actually care. Amen. It ought to be a prayer. Lord, would you have me to go visit this day? Amen. Who would you have me to go visit with this week? Amen. You know, there's nothing like making a visit knowing man, this is where I'm supposed to be this day. How many have ever made a visit like that? Amen. And you made that visit and you said, you know what, you just kind of drug yourself there and didn't really want to be there. You'd rather be out playing golf or out hunting or doing something, but you drug yourself to that visit and you didn't know how it was going to turn out, and you get there and you find what you thought was going to be a cold welcome. It wound up being a welcome warm. Welcome. Saying, come on, man, come on in. You want some sweet tea? Well, I've been offered other stuff. But I said, no, preacher. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all got it finally. It took you a little while to get it, amen. I have been offered that, amen. They say, it's funny. Hey, preacher, how you doing? Come on in. You want a beer? No, man. Give me some sweet. I'm greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't want no beer, amen. But listen, somebody needs you to visit with them. You know, there's something about making a visit. Can I be honest with you? When I make a visit as a pastor, people are not very impressed. When your pastor makes a visit, they're probably not very impressed. When an associate or a youth pastor or somebody on staff makes a visit, they're probably not very impressed because most people think that that's their job. Oh, that's what we get paid to do. We get paid to visit. We get paid to knock doors. We get paid to tell people about Jesus. We get paid to preach. You know, that's the thing. But you know, if you go by and you make a visit and you knock on somebody's door, they don't see an ulterior motive. They don't say, oh, you get paid to do that. No, they say, man, why are they here? They're here, why? Because they love me, because they care for me, because they want me to come back to church, or they want me to be saved, and there's no ulterior motives. And so, man, it makes an impact when we visit, but it makes a bigger impact when you as a church member visit. That's right. It really, truly does. You know, that's a proven fact. Number five, let me say this. Some of these points kind of run together, but they're different. Number five, somebody needs you to invite them to church. Amen. Amen. You know, there are people that are just waiting. They are just waiting for somebody to knock on their door and invite them to church. When I was a member of Faith Baptist Church in Gulfport, Mississippi, for a while, Pastor Dan Carver was my pastor. I worked with a ministry called BEAMS, Bible Education Missionary Services. And I was a member there, and there was a man that was from California. And he was in the military, and he had moved to Gulfport. And there was a mom and a dad that was in California praying for their son to get saved. Pastor Dan Carr knocked on this door. This man came to the door. Pastor Carr invited him to Faith Baptist Church. He went to that church. The message was preached. The invitation was given. He walked the aisle. He trusted Christ as a Savior. He got on the phone. He called his mom and dad and said, Mom and Dad, I want you to know that I'm all the way over here in Mississippi. And this preacher from this Baptist church came and knocked on my door. They told me about Jesus. I got saved. And Mom and Dad, you've been praying for me for years to get saved. Amen. Thank you for praying for me. Amen. That I would be saved. Amen. And got born again into the family of God. You know that there's people out there right here in Smyrna that are just waiting for somebody to tell them. Somebody to invite them. Listen, you might not be a big talker, but everybody can say these words. Hello, my name is Michael. I am a member of Faith Baptist Church. Would you like to come? We'll pick you up. Amen. We'll run a bus. Amen. We'll stop by. We'll get you. Amen. Listen, everybody can invite somebody to the house of God. Then number six, somebody needs you to keep serving God. Amen. Amen. Somebody needs you to keep serving God. You know this, there are people watching you. It's been a little while since I've been here. I guess it's been 2 or 3 years since I've been here. I don't really know. I lose count after a while. You have so much fun, it just lose track. Amen. But I remember walking in those doors this morning, and I'm going, yep, there's Squiggy. I haven't even talked to Brother Squiggy yet, but he's in his place. Yep, there's Brother Ron, still in his place. Yep, there's Pastor, still in his place. Yep, there's Brother Tweed, still in his place. Yep, there's Brother Jesse. I know he's a busy evangelist, but thank God when he gets a chance, he comes home, and guess what? He's still in his place. And boy, it's a blessing to know that there's people that are still in their place, still serving God. And listen, church, many have come, and many have darkened the doors of this church. But many have turned around and walked out as well. Many have sat on these pews and worshiped with us and rejoiced with us and said, preacher, I'm with you. But they've turned and they've retreated and they've gone back and they've sold out to the world. I'm here to tell you today, somebody needs you to just to be in your place. You say, preacher, I don't have a position. I'm not a deacon. I'm not this and I'm not that. Listen, man, just be in your place. You don't know what a blessing it was for me just to come back and find some people just being in their place. I mean, I expected Pastor here. I expected Jesse here. I expected some of the key members to be in their place. Amen. Yeah. But, buddy, there's something with some of you that just, to see Grandma Coleman still in her place. Amen. That's right. Woo! Amen. Better make sure it's real. Yeah, man. Better make sure it's real. By the way, hey, you're here this morning. You better make sure it's real. Listen, Jesus and the things of God, they get you in. They don't get you out. Amen.
Yeah, that's good, preacher.
I'm here to tell you that I'm not against people that get discouraged and get out. I love them. I pray for them. But can I just tell you today, there's no time for retreat. There's no time for turning back. There's no time for quitting on God. The days are getting weary and the nights are getting darker. And buddy, we need to go on for God. Amen. People's coming out from among us. They're leaving. Going their own way. Going the way of the contemporary way. Going the way of the new Bibles and the new music and the new preachers and the new fads. Let's remove the pulpit and put a podium up here. Amen. Let's get us a drum set. Let's flip our shirt collar up and become cool and casual. Hey, I think I'll just stick with the old time way. Hey, it worked for Mama. It worked for Daddy. It worked for Aunt Hesse. It worked for Uncle Jack, buddy. It'll work for me here this morning. Amen. The old time way. Somebody needs you to keep serving God. You know, the devil comes to us and says, you know what? They don't need you. They don't need you. By the way, this church don't need you. By the way, that preacher don't need you. Can I just say this? That's a lie from the pits of hell this morning. This preacher does need you. He needs you to hold up his hands. He can't do this by himself. He does need you. And listen, just because he don't get up here every single week and applaud you and tell you how wonderful you are and thank you for doing this and doing that doesn't mean that he's not thankful. It may mean that he's got a church that runs about 300 and he might just forget every minute little detail. Keep going. Whether you get thanked, whether you get applauded, whether you get a hand clap of praise or not, just go on for God because somebody needs you. In church, it's all about Jesus anyway. Amen. Amen. Listen, there's somebody out there that you can make a difference in their life. In conclusion this morning, there's no greater joy than for a person to feel needed. Can I challenge you? Can I encourage you today? Look up here. Every person in this church, you are needed. Amen. Don't let the devil, don't let a disgruntled church member, don't allow a family member, don't allow a wife, don't allow a mother or a father, don't allow nobody to tell you that you are not needed. You are needed at Faith Baptist Church. Amen. Somebody needs you. Yep. Somebody needs you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep going on for God. I was headed down the road the other day looking for a church. I was preaching at a church, and I was one of those churches way out in the middle of, it's in Mississippi, way out in the middle of nowhere, literally. And I got the address, And I punched it in my GPS, and it took me out in the middle of a cornfield. And I'm going, where in the world is this church? Wrong address. I don't know if it's wrong or not. It might have been right address, just didn't take me to the right place. I can't figure it out, but it just took me right in the middle of a cornfield and stopped me. I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we're going, what in the world is going on? We ain't going to be able to make it to this church. And something just told me, just keep on driving. Keep on going. I was honestly getting ready to just turn around and go find another place to go to church. But I thought, well, man, these people are expecting me to be there. I better go and fulfill my obligation. I truly desire to be there, but I couldn't find it. But something told me just to keep going. I went down and went around this corner and the next corner. It was less than a mile away from where I was sitting, where I almost quit. I almost gave up. I almost turned around. But then all of a sudden, I went around one corner. And out in the middle of nowhere stood this big old church, Santee Baptist Church, one of the most beautiful churches you ever seen in your life, out in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, man, I'm so glad I went on. I'm so glad that I kept driving. I'm so glad that I went around another corner and another corner. And yes, there was times along that way that I felt like quitting. I felt like turning around. But I'm sure I'm glad that we got there. And buddy, we got up and preached. And man, it got good in there. I'm glad that I kept on going. Amen. And church, keep on going. Amen. Keep on going. There's nothing more discouraging for a pastor to see people come and get saved and get fired up for God and see them get energized and then all of a sudden just see them just one day just walk out. Then they say this, well, preacher, we love you and everything, but... How many times you heard that, preacher? We love you and everything. In other words, we love you, but you're not good enough for me. We love you and all, but we're going to go find us another place. We love you and all, but. We love you and all, but. Listen, my friend, there ought not to be no buts involved in that. We ought to just say, hey, we're going to go there, and we're going to be faithful until Jesus moves us to somewhere else. Amen. Amen. Listen, let me just say this. Too much church hopping going on. Hey, it happens. You say, how you know that? Because it happens in Louisiana. It happens, amen, it happens in Mississippi. And I just speculate it may happen right here in Delaware too. This person gets mad. This person gets disgruntled, goes on somewhere else. Amen. Stay faithful to your place that God has called you, that God has put you in. Why? Because somebody needs you. Amen, church. Let's all stand. Father, we love you this morning. Father, thank you so much for being so good to us. Father, thank you for the singing this morning. Thank you for what our hearts have felt in this service. Lord, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Now, Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts. Help us to realize today that somebody needs us. Somebody is watching us. God, I pray that you bless these thoughts and speak to hearts. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name.